We've been studying about some people who, according to the testimony of Paul, made a great start. He writes in the verses preceding this that they should call to remembrance the former days, that is, the first days of their Christian life. And he said, in those early days, after you were illuminated, it even indicates they had grown and matured to the point that they were teaching other people not only how to be a Christian, but how to live the Christian life. And because of this, they endured a great fight of afflictions. And Paul said, you were placed in the theater. That is, you were held up. People ridiculed you, and people spoiled your goods, and you took it joyfully. This is how they had been, but it isn't how they were. And all of this has been brought to their attention because they had begun to grow weary of the Christian life and had begun to doubt that it would ever amount to anything and that it would ever come to fruition and bring to them the things that they had desired. In fact, when they had received Christ, they had been taught of the kingdom of God, and they had been taught of a time when Christ would rule on earth as king. And they had been taught about heaven. They hadn't seen it. They had been suffering. They'd seen their material possessions taken from them. They'd been ridiculed and jeered at, cursed as enemies of God. They wearied under this. It hadn't been true of them when they worshiped at the temple. They really couldn't see any benefit in continuing their Christian endeavor. Some of them had already forsaken the assembly. They just didn't go to church anymore. They turned away from it. It had become their custom. That is, it was more customary for them to not go to church than it was customary for them to go to church. Paul pleads with them not to cast away their confidence. And this word confidence here is really a word that means boldness. So in their suffering and in the delay of God rewarding them for their suffering, they had lost their boldness. And without boldness, Christianity presents the idea of fear. And of all the things that Christians should not manifest, it is the spirit of fear. It is not in the Christian character to manifest fear. Look at Jesus. Everything that he endured, and yet we never see in his life even the slightest manifestation of fear. Paul said, don't throw away your boldness in Christ, because you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Now, these people had everything they needed to live faithfully and to live successfully, except one thing, and that was patience. You have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now there's no arguing that these people had suffered tribulation. Ye endured a great fight of affliction. Then in verse 32, both by reproaches and affliction. But tribulation, according to what Brother Pope read, is to work in us patience. But tribulation had not worked in the Hebrews' patience. For he writes, you have need of patience. The word need means the result that comes from poverty. For instance, what is the result of poverty? The result of poverty is need. What is the result of being impoverished? What is the result of casting away things? It is poverty. So these people were impoverished of patience. They had lost their patience. And the tribulation that they had endured had not worked patience. And there's a reason that it had not worked patience. And that is, they didn't have faith. We're going to study about faith in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and we're also studying about faith this afternoon. Paul writes, "The just shall live by faith." And the reason their tribulation didn't work patience is because they didn't have faith. You think with me this morning. If we do not possess faith, and there is in our lives a lot of trouble, a lot of tribulation, a lot of heartache, and a lot of disappointment, if we don't have faith, then that tribulation will work in us complaining. It'll work in us fault finding, not only with others, but with God. And we're filled not with patience, but we're filled with argument and complaint and accusation. Oftentimes, when we have tribulation, instead of our having faith and letting tribulation work patience and then continue this chain reaction of maturing in the work of God, what happens? Immediately with the tribulation, we began to lose our patience with God and our patience with others, and we become quarrelsome. And we want to just simply quit. Why? Because no one appreciates us. We're not getting anything out of it. We're simply being used. And so without faith, tribulation doesn't work patience. Now notice, this phrase, "for you have need of patience," is translated by Moffat in this fashion: steady patience is what you need. Steady patience is what you need. Because their tribulations should have made them more patient. In Luke 21, Jesus taught this very principle. If you'd like to turn with me there to the 21st chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 10, or rather Luke chapter 21, verse 10. As Jesus describes the end times and all that the people who live during the end times would suffer, he told them that they would be brought before kings and they would be put to death in verse 16. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, and there shall not an hair of your head perish. Now notice verse 19. In your patience possess ye your souls. If these people were to endure all that Jesus had said they would endure, and endure it as a Christian, they would have to have patience. But tribulation minus faith will not work patience. Therefore, they must have patience and have faith. For with these two things, then they can bear up under all of those terrible calamities that would fall upon them. In patience, that is, in having patience, you will be able to possess or control the direction of your soul. Isn't this really what we're talking about? Isn't patience that quality that will give us the ability to direct the way our souls go? Not just, I'm not talking about salvation from hell. I'm talking about the direction we take, the maturing that God will exact from us and exact in us as we serve Him. In this same letter to the Hebrews, chapter 6, Paul writes of patience. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. And he talks about all the things that could happen and all the things that they are to do. And when God made Abraham promises, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. Now notice. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Now, this is what Paul's writing to these people. How did Abraham receive the promise? That is, the promise of his son. He received it after he had patiently endured. And he's writing, Paul is, to these very same people a little later about Abraham and other promises that have been made to Abraham. But he is saying here, Abraham was able to accomplish what he did for God because he had patience. He patiently endured. Look at chapter 12, where we'll be studying very soon now. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What do we see? Now, all of us are aware of chapter 11 being the great faith chapter. And usually that's what captures our attention. We are looking and focusing in on faith, what faith did and what faith does. But you'll notice that all of the scriptures that have to do with faith are introduced with the idea that it is patience that we need, but we can't have it unless we have faith. Patience. Endurance. The ability to stay with it even though things are rough and tough and we can't see ahead of us, and yet we stay with it. And we can't do that unless we have faith. You know, when tribulation strikes and we've just become stoic and sort of hump up and suffer, I think that's what we call grit. True grit. But grit is not faith. What we call in Arkansas true grit, that isn't faith. And it may have some patience in it. But I'd say grit is simply patience that we can work in our own flesh without faith in Almighty God. And that will wear us down and wear us out. But we're going to see that verse 11 has to do with faith, but verses 10 and 12 have to do with patience. And what Paul is trying to tell these people is that in order to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish, then you need patience. And here's Paul's sort of growth chain to maturity. For instance, we glory in tribulation. Now, before you could glory in tribulation, you'll have to have faith in God that God is not simply treating you meanly, that you're not simply being mistreated because these things have happened to you. And Paul said, you people have endured joyfully the spoiling of your goods, and you've been placed high on the pedestal and ridiculed, and you did this joyfully. Now, it takes faith to have tribulation in your life and not turn on God and curse God. For instance, Job endured with patience. In fact, that's what is manifest in the book of James as being the quality of Job. It isn't faith. We don't read of the faith of Job, but we learn of the patience of Job. But his patience was predicated upon his faith. So when tribulation struck, Job had faith, which resulted in patience. James says, you remember the patience of Job. We glory in tribulation because tribulation worketh patience. In other words, by faith, when tribulation happens to us, we can take advantage of the tribulation to work in us patience. And patience worketh experience. And you know, that's one of the real problems we're having today in the world, is because we don't have any experienced Christians. And that's what this word means. People who've been there. People who've been through it. People who know what it is. You know, one of the things that people worried about, our military leaders worried about, is the fact that there were very few men in the Persian Gulf who had military experience. There were few men who had been in the Vietnam conflict. But they didn't have combat experience. They couldn't tell their troops what it was like to be under fire and say, I've been there and I know what it's like, and you can endure it and you can win. They had few experienced military personnel. Today, we don't have a lot of people who have the experience. One reason is we separate our people. If you're 12-year-old or 15-year-old or 16-year-old or 18-year-old or 22-year-old or 25-year-old, you're not apt to have had a lot of experience. But our churches today isolate the young from the older. The older people have had the experience. And today, when people look for someone to work with our young people, they want a person as young as the young people. Who would be a good man to work with our young people? Almost without question, it is another young person. Someone to whom they may relate. If the only person you have to give you advice, if you're 16, is another 16-year-old, you don't have good advice. Ideally, according to the Word of God, the oldest members of the church would make the best youth workers. Now, I know I'm advocating something that would never occur. But this is what the Bible teaches us. Let the young learn from the older. Why? They have the experience. That grandmother who has nursed when she was a young woman her children, and she has gone through the childhood diseases with her children, and maybe she has buried her own children. Maybe she has buried a husband. That lady has experience. And if you're beginning to rear your children, then you can learn from her what the dark nights of tribulation are like, and that sun will shine again, and that life can go on. We need the experience of our elderly people. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience worketh experience. You know why patience works experience? Because if you're impatient, you never get experience. It's impossible. You know, if you hire on to a job and work 3 or 4 days and then quit it, hire on to another job, work 3 or 4 days, hire on to another job, work a couple of weeks, hire on to another job, work a couple of weeks, you never get experience except in hiring and firing. What is an experienced carpenter? Well, it's one that applied for work 30 or 40 times. Patience works experience. Without patience, you'll never get experience. You'll never have been there. You won't know what it's like. And with the weak prosperity gospel that our weak-kneed, uneducated in the scriptures preachers are preaching and telling people, oh, if you'll just trust the Lord, everything will work out fine in the financial world. You'll get money and you'll get your home and you'll get your health. And when these people respond to that kind of perverted gospel, and then the wheels start coming off. They don't have any patience. Therefore, they can't get any experience. Some people talk about the good old days and how we need to go back to those good old days and do the things that people used to do before all these modern inventions come along. They talk about the joys of cutting your own wood and the joys of carrying your own water and the joys of the outhouse and all of these things. Well, look, ask me. I've been to all these. I know I have the experience in these things, and I like what I've got better now. See, you're talking out of your fantasy, okay? Good old days, the fantasy part of it. Talk to people who are experienced. Now, Patience works experience, and experience works hope. After you've worked your way through an incident, after you've worked yourself through a trial, after you've stayed with it until it's all over, then you've got some idea of how it all will end up. And then you can have hope. Why are there so many people that view life as a hopeless thing? They look at themselves, it's just all hopeless. It's because they haven't had experience. They never had enough patience to endure till they had experience. And they didn't have enough faith to stay with it, so they'd get some patience. Now, God's will and our expectations. Notice what Paul writes. For you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God. That after you've done the will of God. That after you've done the will of God. These people had done God's will. They had endured. And they had suffered. And they had gone through a great deal. But they decided to forsake it. They had a little bit of patience and maybe a little bit of experience. But their faith was weak and they didn't endure. Paul said, you have need of patience. That after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. What is the promise? Someone says, eternal life. After you've done the will of God, then hang in there and you might have eternal life. No, that's not what Paul's talking about here, because we're going to be looking at this many times in the next few Sundays. What is it that Abraham had been promised? Well, you'll look at chapter 11 and verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. That's what Abraham looked for. Did Abraham ever find it? No. Notice in the same chapter, verse 15. Well, verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Then verse 16. But now they desire a better country. That is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. Now notice, for he hath prepared for them a city. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus Christ is preparing now a city. And before he comes back, that city will be made completely and entirely. All of it will be finished, furnished, completed. It'll be the New Jerusalem. He's building it right now. And he's going to bring it back to the earth completed. And Abraham looked for a city whose builder, whose foundation, whose maker, whose builder is God. And all these men died in faith, looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And the Bible tells us very plainly in verse 13 of chapter 11, these all died in faith, now look, not having received the promises. Now there were some things that Abraham received. He died in faith, he patiently endured, and he got the son through whom God would bless all the world, the progenitor, forefather of Christ. That wasn't all Abraham was looking for. He was looking for a city where he could live and God would be his God and he could be God's servant without sin and death and dying and sickness. And these people also were looking for a city. But Paul is telling them, Abraham died in faith, not having received the promises. But notice, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And that's what we are, strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The word pilgrim or strangers here means from far away. You know, I've never been to heaven, but I'm from heaven, living on earth. I'm a pilgrim and a stranger on earth. Haven't seen it, but I know it exists. And Paul is telling these people, you have need of patience after that ye have done the will of God. Now notice the promise here. For yet a little while. And that expression is, well, I can put it this way, in a short. That's really what it says. A little while. How short? That's a pretty liberal translation, or very specific translation. A little time. How short? And what'll happen? For in a little while, a very little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. You know, this city that Abraham looked for, and this country that all the people of faith died in faith, not having received, that is, that promise. The fulfillment of that promise is tied to the coming of Jesus Christ. And I rather suspect these people had gotten discouraged. They'd endured a lot of pain and a lot of physical suffering and had lost their houses and their goods had been spoiled. Either the government or vandals had destroyed their property. They were a homeless group of people wandering from place to place in dens and caves. They were without. They had lost everything. And I rather suspect they were saying, we thought the Lord had come back and deliver us from all this, but he hasn't. I guess we might as well quit. Because I don't see anything really happening that indicates he'll be here anytime soon. And so with that idea, lack of faith, they abandoned the assembly. He that shall come will come and will not tarry. That is, linger. Jesus Christ isn't lingering just so we can all be miserable. There's a purpose to the fact that he hasn't come yet. And that purpose is that we might be witnesses of him. So let us endure patiently. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, so that we can become experienced. And in our experience then, we can have hope. And if we have this hope, we'll not be ashamed when Jesus comes again.